This life was all I ever wanted.
I'm not leaving. Not yet.
I was hoping you'd say that.
We gotta hit the streets, make some money.
People like us must destroy people like him. Buckle up.
Get Showtime free at Showtime.com.
My brother Jack.
Oh my God. We back.
Let's go. All the smoke.
Just getting started, baby. Just getting started.
Welcome back to a special quarantine edition of All the Smoke. Jack, what's up, bro?
What's up, my brother? Much love.
You good?
Already know that. Yeah, I'm still hung over for my birthday, the virtual birthday
party.
Yeah,
I'm saying, bro. You got me drunk from a motherfucking Zoom call, bro. How I have a hangover the next day from a party I wasn't even at. I was in my own house when I got drunk. That shit is crazy.
We had a good time, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out everyone who jumped on that. We appreciate y'all, man. Happy birthday to Jack again.
Sir.
And, man, we got a special Bay Area legend, NBA Hall of Famer, probably the best shit talker we've ever seen. Welcome, my brother, GOAT. Gary Payton.
What's good? What's good, fellas?
What's GP, up, OG? What's up with you, man?
Shoot, my nephew, you had a birthday, huh? You didn't want to put me on the chat, man, so I can get fucked up too, huh?
Hey, because you know, G would have been taking them shots with us for sure.
Ooh, boy, yeah, I would have had a ball on that motherfucker, boy, drinking like that.
I already know, OG. I know you was somewhere out in the woods, somewhere hard to find you. But hey, next one, we're gonna be in person. There ain't gonna be no video call.
It's all good.
Off the grid. So how you handling this new reality for us? You know, we're in this COVID-19 pandemic, and it's really changed life as we know it. How are you and your family handling it, and what you got going on with that?
I'm just chilling, man. I done went to a little secluded spot, just be kicking it. That's about it. And just try to stay away from things like they say, you know. But, I got to go outside. I got to do something. I got to run. I got to walk the dog. Right. I got to do something, you know what I'm saying? But it's one of these things where they don't know what's really going on, so they want to keep people away from people that's going to be sick and have immune systems that can't take this stuff. So that's what the problem is, because we don't know really what it is. So we gotta be safe, you know, safe with our grandmothers or our mothers who are very ill. So that's what they're really, really trying to, you know, break it down so people can stay away from.
Right. So we had KG back at All-Star. And we were just talking about the game and the history of the game. And obviously, your name always comes up, obviously, as one of the great point guards, but also one of the great shit talkers. And he told us a story how you backed someone down from half court, and you was in the ref's ear, you was in the defender's ear, you was in the coach's ear, you was talking shit to everyone all while still running your team.
I watched GP back down the guard from baseline to baseline, talking the whole time. Shut your ass up. Bow up, twist. Hey, get his ass in here. Hey, come up. Hey, you see the hand on the hip? Call it if you see it. Like, he just...
That sound like it.
Finally, him, I'm like, how is GP managing all this? He talking to me. He calling the play. He throwing the ball like, yo, and still scoring the ball, stealing the ball, effective. Yeah. In the huddle, he got the thing. He drawing it up.
Yeah.
Like, yo, GP to me was like masterful.
Where does that shit come from, man?
Man, y'all know what? You know it's coming from them streets of Oakland, man. That's where I grew up like, man.
The area.
I grew up in them streets, man. So it's no, you know, I used to go to every neighborhood and get down with people, man. And my daddy used to be right there talking shit with me. And he used to back me up so niggas couldn't get out and get down on me. And then my brother was there too, so people was real, real mad at me because I can get down and I can back it up, and I used to kill them. So it used to be fun. It used to be fun to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I can do it and talk crazy. So when I brought it to the league, they didn't know what the hell to do with it. So I took it to advantage, and then I still start killing them, and it was fun to me, man. That shit was hella fun just to basically know I could control somebody with my mouthpiece and then affect them in the game.
Hey, people don't understand how hard that is to be able, okay, one, you got a guard guarding you from taking the ball out. You talking to him, telling him he ain't finna take the ball. The coach saying something to the player. While you dribbling, you tell the coach to sit down. One of the fans say something. You tell the fans, don't worry about it, I got this. He hand checking. You talking to the ref. Hey, get his hands off me, ref. Get his hands off me, ref. Then you telling the player, say, get over there, get over there, I got this. You backing him down. Hey, people don't understand how hard that is to control the whole game. Only great players can control the whole game, dog.
And that's
multitasking at its finest.
Yeah, you know why it was so cool? Because I had a coach that'll let me do whatever I wanted to, and Coach George Call. So, you know, I used to always call the plays that I think was more effective for myself and then get my teammates involved. So I used to call a play called one up where I get on the left side and it'd just be one. And when Kevin was really talking about it, it was on that one side where I turn my back and I bag them down, but I'm talking to everybody at the same time. And then if the player tried to come and try to steal that moment, I'm going to spin on his ass and he threw. And then he's going to be all bad. So, you know, it was one of them plays where nobody could defend it. And then, you know, today they can zone. In our day, you couldn't zone like that. So everybody had to be spread it out. And if I get by you and somebody start running over, then I'm going to pick you apart because I'm going to start giving the ball to everybody. And it wasn't like that, like today's game where you can sit over in the zone and then you can zone it up and then defend me and defend everybody else too.
Speaking of today's game, how do you feel like your game would fit in today's game? Today is completely different from obviously when you played than when Jack and I played. How do you feel like you would do in today's game?
You know what, Matt? Today's game, it has changed a lot because it's more now that the three-point shot is the weapon. In our day, we had the big man that was the weapon. And what happened is they took the hand checking away from that. They would have took the hand checking away from me. It would have been hard because you can't guard these dudes who can dribble that basketball, who can do the things that they do, because it's too hard to guard them. So I think it would have been a little bit different. I would have had to adjust my game, but you know what? I can't let them ever get me and give me 30, and then I'll be happy with it, or 50, and let me be happy with it. I'm gonna have to give his ass 50 back, because I'm gonna ISO his ass my same way. I'm gonna ISO him and make him be on the island too, because he put me on the island. So they would have to, whoever go at me, the Hardens, the Stephs, and all them dudes, and all them who go at me, I'm going to have to go back at them. I would just have to do one-on-one with them, and we would just have to get 50 apiece.
Hey, besides Magic Johnson, you one of those guards that posted up a lot. Y'all kind of started that. I think now if you was in today's game, you abuse that because they don't take advantage of matchups like they used to, like we did. I remember Matt tell you when we played with Don Nelson, when we played against the Phoenix Suns, Don Nelson told us, I don't care who shoot the ball, whoever Steve Nash guarding, go post up. He didn't care who it was. You know what I'm saying? They don't take advantage of mismatches now. If you was playing right now, Lord, you'll be getting so many post up layups, it'd be ridiculous.
Because I go at everyone that couldn't, nephew, I go at everybody who couldn't play defense. And whichever one of them that couldn't play defense, I go at their dome right now. And they don't understand that. Oh, and I'll be going at his head. I'll be like the mouse in the house, in the church house mouse. He all in here. He by himself on this island, and I'm going to tear his head off. And I'm going to kill him too, man. And every time I make a bucket, I'm going to be like, bring your ass on back down here. Because if he score, I'm going to be like, nigga, it's all bad because I'm going right back at you. Ain't nobody on my team going to touch this ball but me. And I'm going to go at you. And somebody going to help you. And I'm going to tell them they going to help you because he going to get killed.
Mm-hmm. Hey, tell us what I got a chance to play with Chris Paul and was a part of Lob City and just seeing Blake and DeAndre and the shit they used to do used to awe me. But you arguably played with one of the best dunkers of all time in Sean Kemp.
Rain, man, all
you had to do is throw that shit out in the atmosphere. That motherfucker's gonna come catch it and dunk on somebody.
Shit, man, that was the greatest feeling ever, man. Because me and Sean always had a thing for the thing to say. He'd be like, ooh, woo-hoo. And as soon as I steal the ball, he'll be come behind me and he'll be like, woo-hoo. and I know you there, and I just throw that thing up. And he, I might sometime miss where I'm throwing the ball at, but he'll come flying and then grab that thing and wah-bah. And then you know how he act a fool. He start pointing at people, and you know how he get to doing all this and bam-bam-bam, you know. So it was acting fun with him, man, because he made it entertaining when he dunk on you, and then they'll be coming and slapping him high five. I was like, man, y'all crazy as mug. Y'all on a highlight film, man. Y'all on Sports Center, because you know we had the top 10 Sports Center at that time. Because we used to run home to see who made the top 10 in the Sports Center. And you know, we used to go to Foot Locker, and you can get a poster with you getting dunked on, too. So, you know what I'm saying? So, that was cold, too.
The poster,
yeah.
Hell, yeah.
Yeah,
that's dope. Who were some of your rivals back in the day in the point guard position? Obviously, you played in the era with some amazing point guards, Isaiah Thomas, John Stockton, Magic Johnson, to name a few. But who were your personal rivals?
My two personal rivals, it was John Stockton and Tim Hardaway. I used to love to play against both of them because, you know, me and Tim had a thing going on that, you know, he from Chicago and he was in Oakland and he used to talk a gang of a mess and I had to go at his head all the time. So, but now me and him we done got real close, but it was a good thing. Yeah. But I used to hate John Stockton, man, because he never talked to me. You know what I'm saying? He just look at you like he a zombie, man, and then kill you, back pick you, knock your ribs out of the place, man. So I used to be always wanting to get at him, man. So them two was my main ones. But you know, we went against Rod Strickland, Kevin Johnson, Mark Price. We had a lot of dudes that we used to get at. And it was point guard central there that time. Muggsy Bogues, all the little guards, man, that would get at you, man. Even, you know, Adams from Denver. You know, them little guards, man, was a joint, man. And we had, everywhere we went in the NBA, we had to play against a guard. You know, that's when Mark Jackson was even bumping with the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? So it was like Indiana had Vern Fleming and all them dudes, man. So we had a lot of point guards in my day.
Yeah, that was big. They got the Last Dance documentary coming up with Jordan and the Bulls. Obviously, you guys had a good run with them in 96. What do you remember about time?
Y'all got a little taste of that, MJ.
Yeah, you know, that was Matt. That was the thing that I think we played too late. We played them too late. We was trying to. I think Coach Carl was scared. I was hurt a little bit in that series, and he wouldn't start me on MJ. And then once we got down 3-0, I start guarding MJ, and we turned the series around. We blew him out twice, and then we went back to Chicago, and it was too late. I have good memories, man, because going at Jordan was cool with me. You know what I'm saying? I used to try to go at his dome all the time, man, and get him out of it, but they had a coach in Phil Jackson who didn't care about egos. When, you know, I get in that Jordan to get out of his game a little bit and start talking to me, Phil would always switch the game up and he'd put Pippen on me, who was a bigger guard, and I couldn't post him up, you know what I'm saying, because he's too big. So I had to always take him off the dribble. So I had fun, man, in the 90s, man. The 90s was the shit to me because we played against everybody, and then you young kids started to come, youngsters started coming, and then I started getting messed up because y'all had too much dog in y'all, man. And by that time, I done got older then. You know, both of y'all got dog in y'all, so I was like, man, I can't mess with too many of these youngsters, man, because they doing too much right now. So then when y'all start coming, man, it was more of a getting at y'all, man, as nephews, man, and you're passing the game on because y'all had that ump, you know what I'm saying? It ain't too many of y'all could come in there and have that ump that I had. And I don't really, you know, I don't really respect too many of these dudes because I get at them and they turn down and they turn their cheek the other way. But y'all too, man, was a little bit different, man. Y'all didn't turn y'all cheek. Y'all went at everybody, especially you, Matt. Throwing the ball, faking the ball in Kobe's face, doing all that crap, man. And then you stat, going in the stands, getting at people, man. You know what I'm saying? So y'all's just a little bit different, man. So it was always good.
Hey, I always tell people, I say one thing about GP, that's why I love him. I say, you got to be a real one if GP rock with you. He don't rock with anybody.
Yeah, you know that, nephew. I don't get out with people, man. I don't have friends like that, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when I rock with y'all, man, especially when y'all gave me the text, man, and said, hey, man, y'all come on the show. I was like, yeah, about damn time.
You know what's crazy was me and Jack text you on the same day, not even knowing. We was thinking of guests we needed. It wasn't even spoken. We both just, because I had hit you. You're like, yo, I just spoke to Jack. And I didn't even, it wasn't like I told Jack to hit you or Jack told me to hit you type shit. So we both just thought like, yo, we need to get GP on this motherfucker, man.
Yeah, you know, it's always a pleasure to jump on with y'all, man. And then, you know, this is a start, man, because I got to come and be in person with y'all, man, after we get off this quarantine. Definitely. So we can really act the damn fool. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm waiting on. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, let's transition into some that Jack and I have been huge advocates for while we played. Post-career, obviously, a Bay Area legend, an NBA Hall of Famer, endorsing cannabis and really help pushing the movement in the word. And we appreciate what you do, but speak to me how that came about.
Hey, GP, hold on. Tell him the story. Tell him the story first, bro.
I'm
going to
tell him the real story.
Yeah, tell him the real story. But everybody that don't know, this is the real story about Gary Payton.
I
want to
hear.
Everybody around the world, all they call, I'm talking about, man, I need Gary Payton. That's all I need. That's my favorite. Everybody's screaming for that right now. And y'all don't even know how the OG found out about it. Go ahead and tell him, OG.
It's all good. So, you know, one day I was just sleeping. You know, Stack hit me on the phone and he was hitting me heck of times, right? So I was like, damn. So I was like, well, my youngest one, I hope ain't nothing wrong. So I picked up the phone and he was like, OG, you know, man, I came to the Bay, man, to pick up some of your stuff. I said, some of my what? And he was like, the Gary Payton. I said, man, I don't know nothing about no weed. He said, you don't know nothing about no strand in the weed they got on you. I was like, nah. He was like, man, OG, man, you better look into that, man. So when he told me, I went and got the word out on the streets to get down to see who was running with the strand. So they got in touch with Burner, and Burner didn't know nothing about it because it wasn't even out in Cookies yet. It was somebody in the streets who had knocked it off. It was a knock on it. And they was trying to sell it, and they had bad packages and stuff out there, and they was selling it. So then all of a sudden, when I got to the meeting, I thought I was going to get with some street niggas and get down, and we was going to talk. But Burner came up. And then when Burner came up, Burner was like, man, OG, man, this ain't even supposed to be out. I'm going to find out who did it, and I really think I know who did it, and put it on the streets. So that's what really happened. And then when Burner did it, he stopped it. He stopped that. And then he said, you know what? We was going to call you anyway, because what happened was we went out and we cut some strands, and the strand came to Gelato 2020. And it was like, we want to honor the OG because we from the Bay. So what's 20 mean? That mean Gary Payton out here.
Yeah.
So then they said, we going to name the strand Gary Payton.
To me, the bigger picture is, because I work with UCLA on this, cannabis research program. To me, the bigger play and the bigger picture is realizing how beneficial this can be for athletes in sports. I mean, you know, as a professional, they pumping us full of opioids to get us back on these playing fields, but then want to penalize us for smoking. You know what I mean? And knowing that I've been smoking since I was 14, started in high school, through UCLA, through the NBA, and I was always taking a chance. But to me, there was no alternative because I wasn't someone who could take opioids. They gave me stomach aches. I wasn't really a big drinker. So I just always smoked it and took that chance because I felt like I really needed it. So the fact that you and you're bringing other legends into play, and there's other people in place, our brother, shout out Al Harrington of Iola, Ricky Williams, Mike Tyson, there's so many people around that are these so-called one percenters. You know, Kevin Durant supports it. I mean, we can be productive, what the fuck ever, dads, business owners, fathers, professional athletes, and still smoke cannabis, and we shouldn't be fined, suspended, or possibly lose our career over it.
Well, Matt, that's a good point. And that's why I think a lot of people are seeing me indifferent, because before my mom passed, 5 months ago from cancer, from liver cancer.
I was really
breaking this off. I got with Bernard. I got with a lot of people. You guys knew I had started a company called Canna Sports, which was basically going to go towards medical cannabis, where it gets all the bombast, make people feel good, and Matt, you're right. It's a lot of things that a lot of players, I can take, for instance, Earl Campbell, who was ailing and aching and can't barely move, would need stuff like this to get himself up in the morning, to get himself to moving and get off these medical pills. That is going to, what they're going to do is they're going to solve what they think they're solving, but the other places like your liver, like your kidneys and stuff, it's going to break it down.
There's
and
no
then
question,
you're going to be messed up and you're going to keep taking this stuff. And that's what doctors want you to do, is keep taking stuff so they can keep selling stuff. But with this cannabis oil and this stuff and the CBD stuff, it can make you get natural and get everything natural in your body and keep your body feeling good, where you can get up in the morning, you can take walks, you can feel good about making breakfast or something. But some of the time, people who got a lot of ailing diseases, they can't get up in the morning. They can't even
get up.
They're
not active. They don't have no idea.
They're not doing
that.
They had nothing. So if you give them this and give them a sense of ability to get up, feel good, and stay on this stuff, it's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with that, man. It's nothing wrong to recover your body off of natural. And you know, this is why the cannabis is getting to a point where everybody's starting to legalize it. We want all 50 states to do it, but it's going to take time because they got to get the understanding of it's not going to hurt you. You know what I'm saying? Alcohol gets you to drinking and get your mind to getting all bad. Cannabis can get you there. If you can take different ones to make you mellow, to make you up here, to make you whatever, and people got to understand which one is which one that you can do. And then we got a lot of stuff like that. And I'm not just into the flower. I'm into bomb baths.
Yes.
I'm into oils. I'm into everything that's going to make somebody feel good about themselves. And people know that. And that's why a lot of people have been dealing with me and wanted me to come to cannabis conventions and stuff like that so that I can share this information with them and share what I'm trying to do, because I'm not just into smoking and doing that. All you guys know, I don't even smoke, but I do have a line that people want to honor me with, and I'm going to do it, but then I'm going to do something else that is going to make me help other people, and it's going to be a movement, and I think we all going to get into that, and we all want to do that, and it's nothing wrong with what every one of you guys are doing, because it is what it is. And this is the way life is going right now.
Yeah. I think it's stuck. We're stuck on old stigmas. I think people fear the word high. You know what I mean? So if we can remove the word high and educate them, because like you said, there's so many different parts of this plant that can help people in different ways. Whether you want to get the psychological high from it, or you want to just get the straight, you know, the body recovery and ailment. There's so many different levels you can attack. And I think when people hear the word cannabis, they instantly think you're smoking weed, you're high. But there's so many different ways to do this. And I'm actually working on a project in the Bay Area, GP. We need to sit down and talk about, we're unifying churches out there and educating church members, because you got to think, our grandparents, like you just said, we're trying to cut that medical cabinet in half, if not more, you know, by taking different parts of this plant. You know, I mean, our grandparents are waking up taking how many pills a day, like you said, just to get out of bed, just to move, just to feel better. And there's so many testimonies of people taking, whether it's the oil, the tinctures, the bath bombs, the rubs, smoking a joint. There's so many testimonies to how beneficial it is for these people. We still want to have this old stigma on them. So like I said, I think the overall picture of all of us athletes, because when we speak, we know people listen, to really just push this message and let you know you can still be a very productive person on many different levels if you're a cannabis user.
And Matt, that's a good point, because a lot of the churches is and the people in there are old school people that don't really understand about what's going on.
Right.
What's a good thing about that is my brother is one of the main pastors in California. He's the president of a lot of the things in California, where I'm educating him on the same situation that you're talking about by going to church and telling him what's going on, because he's got diabetes and he's got this. I want him to get off pills and all of that stuff
right.
too. It's
so
nothing
important.
Wrong. It's nothing wrong with the stuff that he's doing. He doesn't have to smoke weed and marijuana to do that. He can get these body wraps and CBDs to
Come
make
on,
him
man.
Feel understanding.
Come on,
and
man.
We got to get them to understand that. And that's the problem that we have, is that we're not letting everybody understand
right.
what it is.
Right.
And Matt, you're right. All they think about is high. It's not like that anymore. This is just a different generation, man. And it's nothing about high no more. Some people can take it. Like we can say with Snoop Dogg. He smokes all the time, and it's just something that he's immune to. You know
right.
what I'm saying? That's his thing to do to keep him feeling right and to keep him motivated.
Right.
And that's no problem with that. And that's my homie, and that's my dog, and I love him to death. And I'm with him on that if that's going to make him be productive.
Right. For him. Mm-hmm. For him.
Yeah, for him. For him.
For everybody is different. Everybody is different. You know,
right,
we have a high
right,
we
right.
have a high tolerance. We smoke before we played, when we played, all the shit. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
to everybody is different. But that's the amazing part about it, is because there's so much education. I think education is the key. Now you learn how to microdose. Now you find out, because to me, I don't ever want someone to have a bad experience on it. You know what I mean? Because
right.
there's so much information and education on it now. You can know, you can microdose if you're messing with the edibles or the tinctures, whatever. You know, I even want to get to a point where, you know, I'm letting a little cat out the bag, but when we start dropping our pre-rolls and shit again to give people, like, levels, right? When you smoke this much, this is what you should feel. You smoke this much, this is what you should feel. And if you feel like you can handle a whole joint, go for it. But to me, if we can
mm-hmm.
educate right. people and let them know, like, there's a responsible way to handle this, like the old narrative of stoners or loose, this is a real-life business now, and this plan is really helping change people's lives. So if we can continue to educate, like I said, with the church shit, we definitely got to link up with that to continue to educate the members. Shout out Bishop Clark and Word Assembly in Oakland. We got to sit down, especially that your brother's a pastor, too. So we got a cool play in the Bay Area, and we want to cookie-cut that motto and take that shit all over the country.
Yeah, we got to do that soon, and because it'll help everybody, and it'll start something. But what the thing is, I want to congratulate y'all, and I want to say I'm proud of both of you too for even coming up with a show like this, so that they can understand, and so that everybody in the world can understand what's going on right here, especially with you guys have done what you've done in the community and what you've done on the basketball court for these people to come here, and then y'all educate them and talk to educational wise. As what y'all doing now. You're not talking like y'all ignorant or a fool or nothing
Mm-mm.
like that. Y'all talking
Mm-mm.
where y'all know about everything y'all talking about in educational and doing things like that. And I'm very
right.
proud of y'all, man, and I want to give y'all kudos for that, because
man,
this is
that,
what
OG.
We need. This is what we need in this world.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we
definitely appreciate it, OG. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, and me and Matt, we always talk about it. To touch what he's talking about, the productive side of it, the stigma is just so bad. Like, I started smoking when I was 12, so I honestly would say
I could tell by the tint on your lower lip. It looked about
yeah, man.
That shit got some wear and tear on it, my nigga.
Because it started with it used to be swishers, then with the grape
Dude.
Swishers.
Man,
yeah, you know what I mean. So
I smoked swishers
yeah, back
for
in the
20
day.
Years. Ugh, shout out Raw. Shout out
Raw. Shout out.
That's
Backwoods.
Jack likes Backwoods. Backwoods, holla at Jack.
Yeah.
He'll definitely. You could tell. He's a Backwoods supporter, so do something. Fuck with him.
Yeah, but hey, but for me, I know, especially sports-wise, I played through all kind of injuries, just like the both of y'all did. There's no way I would have made it 14 years. There's no way I would have been as productive that I have been if it wasn't for cannabis. So a lot of people,
right.
I'm glad, like you said, I'm glad that we are able to stand on the forum for it, because me and Matt, you never seen me and Matt missing the game or suspended because of cannabis. You never seen us getting pulled over with it. So we can speak on it because we done it the right way. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that we got people like you too, OG, that speak on it too, because it gives us credibility.
Right, right. And you know, you guys, even though I didn't smoke weed when I was in the league, and I tried to be a guy where I was tough all the time and get through it. You know what I'm saying? But then I wish I would have, because then I wouldn't have had so much alcohol in my system right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
no bullshit.
So I used to put it to the alcohol, man. So
right.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna even lie to y'all. Y'all had y'all's, I had mine, man. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wish I would have been a little bit different on that, because then I would have have my body, you know, way, way more better than I did then. So, but it was always a learning process of what we're doing. That's why everything mm-hmm. trickles out to be what it is in the future. Yeah. Everything happens for a reason. And now this mm-hmm. reason is in 2020 that we understanding what the cannabis is going about and how we did it. And y'all had it already in forefront when y'all was in the league. So we don't, you know, mm-hmm. people don't know it, but they know it now. And that's why a lot of these sports are now starting to say, we're not going to test for this. We're not going to test for marijuana. We're not going to do that.
That's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not like, I think it's so much, not to cut you off, G, I think that these leagues worry so much about image and the message we're putting out to children. You know what I mean? So it's not so much promoting, go smoke weed. Just don't test for it no more. We remember back, I'm sure it was for you, we used to get that preseason test. One time we was good. So it wasn't like they were saying go smoke, but they just wasn't tested for that shit. You know, so it's not like you're promoting, we think kids, because I mean, obviously the NBA is, you know, we got the kids, we got the world's attention. So we obviously they want to be conscious about the message we're sending to children. But like I said, at the end of the day, it's not so much about promoting the situation. It's just not testing for it anymore.
Right, and that's what the leagues are doing, because it's not going to be, you guys, you know that. They're not going to be able to stop you guys from smoking weed, and nobody else is smoking weed. You're going to do it anyway.
We're going to do it regardless.
They're going to do it regardless, so why fight it? You fool around, and all of a sudden, you get 80 people that has positive for it. What you going to do? You going to mess your whole league up if you try to suspend 80 people. You know what I'm saying? Right. So just let them do it.
Yeah,
and just make sure, and y'all guys are responsible. Y'all come to the game. Y'all know not to, y'all ain't gonna hurt nobody or nothing gonna happen. You can redo it. You can do it. You can maintain it and contain it. And you be responsible. So everybody gonna be good, and they know they're not gonna be able to control everybody because everybody gonna keep doing it.
Right. I remember towards the end of my career, I was in the drug program, and they were over, I was told there were half the dudes, there was over 200 dudes in there for cannabis alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's half the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's everywhere from rookies to superstars. You know what I mean?
Like
in not just the NBA, in the NFL, in Major League Baseball, you know what I mean? Like we know other people in different walks of life. And it is what it is. So it shouldn't be looked down upon. It shouldn't be criminalized. You shouldn't, you know, I lost my homeboy. Shout out my homeboy, Ontario Smith from Sacramento, one of the coldest running backs ever. Was about to sign a big deal with the Minnesota Vikings and got popped for the third time with the tree and some other, you know, in a situation. And he lost his career over it. You mean, you look at the dude from the Cowboys, David Irving, retired over it. Because people, you know, they don't understand the real benefits. They look at it as with the old stigma, the old stereotype that it's a gateway for other bullshit, and it's not. You know what I mean? Like, weed smokers are weed smokers, and it's very beneficial in our lives, man. So I'm glad that I think we've still got a way to go, but we're definitely headed in the right direction as far as just trying to normalize this. To me, it should be just as normal for a mom at the end of the day to have a joint than it is to have a glass of wine.
Word.
And that's true. It's everybody. You know, like you said, man, a lot of people like to drink wine. Some people want to have a joint. You know what I'm saying? Have a pre-roll. You know, just smoke that, and then that'll make you relax and be there. And, you know, and I guarantee you right now in this quarantine, that's what it's all about right now. Everybody probably smoking it out. They probably smoking it out right now. So it's all good, man. And as long as we can get to the point where we can get everybody educated on this and get this to just be where it's at, because we are moving in the right direction. We are doing the things, and the right people are stepping up to promote this and let them know it. And the people that are stepping up are respected people, and people listen to it. So that's good, and we're getting into the right direction.
We need to all come together on this. This is something our brother Al Harrington's been preaching on this. We need to all come together and figure out some, you know, create some sort of board, like continuing to come together and push this narrative and educate people. I think education on this situation is the key, man. But we're going to wrap it up soon. Like I said, we want to get you in the studio, so we're not going to get too deep into too much shit, but we're going to close out with a couple quick hitters for you. Favorite player to watch present day?
Favorite player to watch present day, man. You know that's a hard one, but I'm going to go with the boy, Morant.
Oh, he's tough.
Morant.
Yeah, John Morant. I love the little young boy, man. He got a lot of dog in him. He don't back down to nobody. Get into it. He talk his trash too, and he just don't back down to people. And he remind me of myself a lot. And I love that young kid.
Yeah.
So tell me, current day with your rules from the '90s, who's one point guard you'd want to go one on one with? Where you can head check and play defense, how you can play.
Marcus Smart from Boston. I want to go at him, man. He a little dog, man. I think me and him will have a real, real good battle, man. I would want to go with him because he got it. And there's one more. I would want to go with Patrick Beverly, too. I would want to go at his dog, too, though. So, you know what I'm saying? Them two. Yeah, them the two I would really, really want to go
at. I love that.
Yeah. I would want to go at both of them.
Yeah.
If the season gets back on track, who do you see going to the finals?
I see the Clippers and Milwaukee going to the finals. I think both of them got what it takes. Milwaukee is in that division in the East Coast where I think they're just dominating it right now. With Giannis being healthy and everything, I don't think nobody over there can stop him. Over here in the West Coast, you know, the Lakers are the truth, but I still think that team over there with the Clippers, they got too much off the bench. They got too much going. I think Kawhi and Paul is just too tough for me. I think that then with Patrick Beverly being the one who he go lock down a superstar, I think he can get up into LeBron a little bit and slow him down and then get all of the big dogs to start guarding him at the end, which they done. Mm-hmm. But the Lakers proved in the third game that they can get with them. But I still think they got too many people.
So Clippers. So you see Clippers winning the championship?
I do see the Clippers winning the championship. You know, I see the West winning the championship. Period. Even if the Clippers don't go by and the Lakers can dethrone, get at the Clippers, I think the Lakers will win the championship. Especially with LeBron and AD. LeBron is just a player where you can't stop him. He's going to get a triple double and he's going to wheel his way. You know, you done seen it. You done seen it every time. He went to the championship 8 years in a row, and he took bad teams to the championship. If the Lakers can get by the Clippers, they'll win it.
See, a lot of people think, like, by saying that we're disrespecting Milwaukee, but we know as former players, you got to do it in the playoffs. I don't give a fuck how many games you win in the regular season, because you saw the Warriors won 73. And they unfortunately lost.
And didn't win it.
You gotta do. Giannis has to be the superstar in the regular season, in the playoffs, and then that's when him and his team start getting more respect. So it's not a disrespect thing. It's just he still has some more room. You know, as former players, we feel he needs to grow and we need to see regular season Giannis in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference Finals, and we need to see regular season Giannis in the finals, and then that's when your team starts getting that respect.
And then, Matt, you got to understand, playoffs are very different. Possessions become a lot important. Referees start calling the game a little bit more tough. As you seen last year when Toronto started doubling him and then putting Kawhi on him and doing things, they took him out of his ball game and he struggled. And then now this is what he has to do this year, and that's what he's been preaching about all season, that he's going to be different. And when he's be different, the other players on his team and his teammates are going to have to be different too. They're going to have to take some of that load off of him, score points, and make their self important, too. And that's what you guys know. We played in the NBA, and when we get to the playoffs, it's a whole different story. You don't play person one game and then don't see him until 2 months later. You
got
to play them back to back to back, and you got to adjust. And they're going to go in and watch videos, and then they're going to try to do something different, and you got to be ready for it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think it's important, man, for Milwaukee, you know, with Middleton to be that consistent second option, Bledsoe to be that consistent third option, and then the rest of the players just play their fucking role. But I thought Boston was playing really well before we took this break. You know what I mean? I think they were starting to get their chemistry. Jason Tatum and Brown were hitting their stride. Kemba was getting in where he fit in. Gordon Hayward was flashing. Everyone was playing their roles, and I really liked what Boston was doing. But it's going to be interesting, man. Hopefully the season will come back and we can crown a champ.
Yeah. With Boston, Matt, they get hurt too much. One of them out this time, one of them out that time. If they all could be on the floor at the same time, they're a big threat. They are a really big threat. And with Tatum playing the way he is and he's starting to become a superstar, it's hard to stop him from scoring the basketball when he can give you 30 anytime. And then he's real smooth with his jumper, is wet. And if they can keep it up, they are a threat too over there in the East.
Yeah. I think Milwaukee's cool, but everybody talk about Giannis. We always see the regular season Giannis. I think they could come out the East, but we need to see playoff Giannis. We can't see regular season Giannis in the playoffs. We need to see playoff Giannis. So he got to find another identity and understand that the level goes way high in the playoffs, and you got to bring your level up way high. You got to start hitting jumpers. You got to start doing stuff that you couldn't do in regular season, that you wasn't doing in regular season, to get your team to the finals. And I think he know that now after losing last year.
He gonna win the MVP 2 years in a row. He gonna win it again this year. And I think what was gonna make him different, what made him different this season, of them going into the World Games and the people stopping him and that coach talking about, we've been playing against him so long, we know how to stop him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's why I think he's gonna be a little bit different when it comes playoff time. And he's gonna be pretty good in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah.
I like LeBron for MVP, but I feel you. Hey, before we get out of here, another reference. We spoke to KG one time, and he said that one time you pulled KG and Kobe aside and taught him some shit on defense about when to go after the ball, and then Kobe applied it. It was a little back and forth, but you got tell us about any personal stories you may have of Kobe, or one of your favorite memories of Kobe.
Well, you know, Matt, I had the pleasure of mentoring him for 1 year when he was in trouble with the Denver case and stuff. It was really a enjoyable time for me to mentor him. I became a big brother to him. Kobe was just a little different. He didn't have no ego. But I'm not as a meaning he did have an ego, but I'm saying an ego in asking OGs what to do and how to become better. And when he came to approach me at the All-Star game and asked him how to make first team all defense, and I sat there at the center court and taught him a lot of things, and he made the first team all defense with me that year. I said, this young kid has a lot of different things in him. He's got a lot of different mentality. And he kept asking me stuff. Every time he played me and I posted him up and I got it, he would always come over to me and sneak it in my ear. OG, man, why you keep killing me on these post-ups, man? You got to teach me that. What should I do? And that was just a big thing for me to hear that and to respect that. And I couldn't do nothing but respect it and teach him the game, because I know I'm a lot older than him, and I was going to be leaving the game soon. And I want to see somebody in that game that imitates the things that I do and can be dominant at it. And this kid was one of them guys. And I taught him everything that I needed to tell him. We used to stay after practice in L.A. And I used to teach him the post-up game. Then he used to fade away. He took it all. He'd face you up and go at you. And it was things that he did like that. And we used to do drills about defense. I used to get him, and I used to throw a tennis ball back and forth, and he used to catch it with one hand and slide. Well, how I learned. And he got so good at it where he used to guard all the top guys. And that's when I started telling him, stop straying away from all the top guys. If the top guy on the team is there, you guard him. Guard him all night. Mm-hmm. And then you take his heart from him, and then you go down and kill him on the other end. And that's what he started doing. And that's what he started doing.
That motherfucking dog shit. I love that. I want to touch on that real quick, because people forget, you know, towards the end of your career, you touched with the Lakers and obviously won a championship with Miami. What was it like going to that Laker team? Because arguably two people you never thought you would see move, you and Karl Malone, end up with the Lakers. What was that like? Because that Laker lifestyle is something else.
Well, you know, Matt, it was right a lot different. And the way we got to L.A. is because me and Carl had planned already to play with each other. We had been talking about that for two All-Stars. And we said we knew that we weren't going to be with our same team for a long period of time, because our owners was a little bit different. They were trying to stray away from us a little bit. They wanted to go young. So he always told me, you know, we're going to play together. So when we came free agents, and then all of a sudden Magic start calling us and saying that the Lakers want us, they want us, they want us, they want us. And then all of a sudden, Carl called me and said, you know, I want to go to L.A. I want to get sun. I want to get out of this coldness. I want to get out of all this crap, man. Let's enjoy ourselves at the end of our careers and do what we do. We can sign here for 2 years and then re-up and then end our career here, and we'll be fine. And he said, I'll take the less money. You take the big money. And that's what we did. He took the less, I took the big, and we went there, and it was a lot different. We didn't expect for Kobe to get in trouble. We didn't expect for Shaq to be feuding with Dr. Buss, but we worked it, and we did a good job at it. We went to the championship. I love both of them dudes, man, and we had a good time, and I love Karl Malone. We had a great time while we was there, even though it was turmoil.
Yeah, no, we wanted, like I said, next time when you come in studio, man, we're going to get down and talk about, we're going to get in depth about everything, man, but we just wanted to thank you for your time today, man, and give you your respect that you do, man. You're a legend. We appreciate you. I know, obviously, you and Jack are close with the Big Three and other stuff, man, but we appreciate everything you've done and stories like that. You know, we think it's amazing when the OGs really kind of, you know, pass that off. Like you said, you was on your way out. You wanted to share. That was one thing that Kobe was adamant about, and it was across all avenues, not just sports, but just, you know, what good is a brilliant mind if you don't share it? So... Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing what you do, man.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all too, man. And thanks for having me on the show. And it's always a pleasure, man. Especially with you two. You know, I respect both of you guys, man. And y'all both dogs to me, and I respect that. So, you know, it's always a pleasure. Anytime you need me, both of y'all, y'all just call me. You know, y'all got my line, and we can do whatever.
G, appreciate you. Hey, Jack, what about your begging segment, Jack?
I ain't got no begging segment. He already know what time it is.
That's a wrap. You can find this on Showtime Basketball YouTube and all platform streaming podcasts.
All of them. You dig.
This life was all I ever wanted.
I'm not leaving. Not yet.
I was hoping you'd say that.
We gotta hit the streets, make some money.
People like us must destroy people like him. Buckle up.
Get Showtime free at Showtime.com.